Boss Hole Chronicles are brought to you by Real Good Ventures, a talent optimization firm helping organizations diagnose their most critical people and execution issues with world-class analytics. Make sure to check out all the resources in the show notes and be sure to follow us and share your feedback. Enjoy today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Boss Hole Chronicles, where we never want to waste a good opportunity to learn from a bad boss. My name is John Brewer, your co-host for this episode, and joined by Sarah Best. You all know very well out there. Sarah, how are you doing today?
John, I'm so good. Thank you. Excited to dig into some juicy info today to share with our listeners. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you too. And this is a great way to kick off the new year. We've had some amazing episodes so far, but this one's really very special in terms of how we're going to present some very powerful and impactful research to our listeners. So Sarah, would you just tee this up for everyone?
Absolutely, John. Today, we are going to talk about the state of talent optimization in the year 2022. And we have the help of some great research to provide that today. But let me just give our listeners an overview, quick overview of talent optimization. And certainly we can refer back to one of our previous episodes on the Boss Hole Chronicles, where we really unpacked talent optimization and the four aptitudes within it. But basically, you know, companies that have a people strategy that aligns with their business strategy are what we call talent optimized. And there are four specific areas of focus in the world of talent optimization. It's about hiring and selecting the right people. It's about engaging and developing and using tools to help optimize people once they're in their positions. It's about diagnosing and keeping your fingers on the pulse of your engagement in your organization, measuring what matters and diagnosing where, in fact, there are people problems. It's also about designing teams that work, designing teams that are capable of and equipped to accomplish the goals they have to achieve. And that's a very simple high-level overview, but just to give people a sense, you know, if you have a business strategy, you're moving in the right direction. If you have a people strategy, like where you put people, how you hire people, how you develop people, that aligns with that business strategy, you are very much in the ballpark of talent optimization. John, is that about right?
Oh, that's great. Perfect definition, Sarah. And this is a growing area, a growing space, talent optimization. And what's interesting is the research shows that when organizations do pursue a talent optimization strategy and marry it with their business strategy, the results are clear. And we're going to talk about some of those results today.
Yeah. So there's this great study that was just published. John, why don't you help us understand the methodology of the State of Talent Optimization 2022 report?
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is something that PI does every year. And as you all know, Real Good Ventures, we are a certified partner of the Predictive Index. It's one of the powerful diagnostic tools we use in our work with our clients. But what is really great is the amount of research that PI does, and they have for years. So there are other State of Talent Optimization reports from previous years, CEO benchmarking studies. But this one that has come out this year specifically is talking about what are the impacts on the marketplace in businesses. And let me just give you a little bit of background of how they did this just very quickly. So what PI did is they created or they identified a research sample that was restricted to executives and vice presidents of companies that had at least 25 people. So these are organizations that have no fewer than 25 people, and knowing Predictive Index, they are looking at organizations of much larger sizes as well. So they were trying to get a very broad representation of different sized organizations as part of this, and those executives totaled 326. So the data we're going to refer to is from that input, from those 326 executives across a wide number of types of industries and sizes of businesses.
And let's just remind ourselves, the context for the research happens to be within the Great Resignation, which by now, this is a commonly known phrase. We know that between 38 and 40 million people left their jobs in 2021. Wow. And, you know, we're seeing article after article about the causation. And here's some research to really back that up. So we're going to unpack the research a little bit. John, I think you know, starting with this idea that there are drivers to this attrition, this great exit, if you will. There are some definitive reasons why people are leaving. One that rises to the top in PI's latest research is inflexibility. Let's talk about that in relationship to employers and the state of talent optimization in 2022. PI asked these executives why they believe people are leaving their jobs. And 32% said inflexible work hours. And I think that's something, it's an easy fix. And I think for all of our listeners who are struggling with retaining good people, if you have not yet instituted or worked around to develop a policy, a hybrid work policy. In fact, a couple episodes back, John, we interviewed Jackie Doobie and Will Otto from the Predictive Index talking about just an example of how to create a more standardized and future-focused hybrid work environment. So I think that's important. Other things weighed into the attrition as well. Things like lack of development opportunities, stress and burnout. And in other research I've read, we see that a toxic work environment is very high at the top of that list as well.
And in addition to that, Sarah, one of the takeaways, and you'll see this, by the way, just everybody, you go to the show notes because this, there will be a link to download this document in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But every single one of these findings has a takeaway. And I think it's interesting to note that in this takeaway, it talked about that these people, the people, the respondents of which they are speaking, want to work how, when, and on what they want. And when that is taken away, if that freedom is pulled away and they can't find that, they immediately start to find it elsewhere. We have not only professional examples, but personal examples of people where the work environment, for no apparent reason, because we've just proven over the last 2 years that we can be very flexible. Some businesses have to have people working on site. I understand that. And we understand that. But where that is not required, the lack of flexibility or the inability to be flexible absolutely has an impact on the people that are as to whether or not they want to stay. And we're seeing people looking for other positions.
Yeah. And I think, John, it's important to note that remote-friendly organizations, according to PI's research, are experiencing 33% less turnover.
Yeah.
You and I get to talk to executives every day that are experiencing all aspects of the challenges with the workforce today. But one of the big ones, too, is if they haven't seen it yet, they fear it's coming, that people are leaving. So they're scrambling, you know, in some cases to try to put that together. And when we think about acquiring talent, hiring people, another challenge we've heard our clients talk about and certainly witnessed is a lack of candidates. People are not applying. They're not showing up for interviews.
Right.
I actually facilitated a panel here with our regional HR group talking about just that, hiring practices and talent acquisition in a very hybrid world and how they've had to pivot their activities and abbreviate the process, become much more candidate-centered. It just kind of turned everything they naturally do upside down. The process has to move much more quickly. And there were some really good tips talked about in there.
I think one of the interesting key findings in this particular section is that the market segment most significantly hit by inflexibility is hospitality and food service. And how many of us listening have gone to our favorite restaurant and realized that they're not open because lack of staffing, they can't open fully because they don't have the people. So this has far-reaching impact for sure. And a message to our senior leaders and executives is how flexible can we be to maintain that level of retention and engagement for our people? So Sarah, what's another one that really stands out for you from the report?
So the other big finding, John, that we can focus on today is 82% of the companies they interviewed, you know, needed help with not only talent acquisition, but retention. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of organizations and you're not alone. You know, you can appreciate and understand this is a widespread issue and challenge, but some companies are winning. Some strategies and some approaches are getting results, John. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think one of the most, again, significant takeaways is they're finding that leaders must be willing to accept new ideas, new perspectives, and follow some new disciplines and practices. And that's what we talk about on the Boss Hole Chronicles. You know, the manager and the supervisor is a key component to retention. And boss holes are one of the main reasons that people leave. And so we have to have people in management and supervisory roles that have a new perspective and a new approach and discipline to developing people and growing people, because that's where retention comes from. Understanding them as they are, not just trying to use a one-size-fits-all management approach, which never works. And so right there is where you can begin to have a significant impact on retention of your employees.
So what I hear you saying, John, is, you know, highlighting the individual needs of your candidates coming in and being agile and flexible. What I heard yesterday in that panel is, you know, there's a lot of different things we're trying and a lot of different things work for different people. Mm-hmm. So for those out there who have a more steady, stabilizing set of behavioral drives and you like consistency and you like to follow the plan and you know what's coming, you know, we recognize that these last couple of years have been absolutely stressful and requiring significant adaptation, because you got to move quickly. Right. You have to adapt your protocols and policies. And let's face it, in some of our organizations, there's a lot of drag, very slow to change, very slow to adopt a new approach. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of our panelists yesterday speak to the challenges of old school thinking and old school practices and beliefs in this new environment, where people are saying, you know what, I have other stuff I could be doing than this job.
Oh yeah.
And I could figure out how to make it work. I think along with the idea that companies need help with talent acquisition, we can go back to this idea that 33% of the companies interviewed, I'm sorry, 38% had a talent strategy. Mm-hmm. So having your strategic plan, where are you going? Even amidst the uncertainty, you know, you can abbreviate the time frame with which you set those visionary goals. Like, mm-hmm. But along with that, you know, are you being on purpose about who you're putting in the right seats?
I think it's also interesting regarding your comment, Sarah, about being responsive and just your ability to adapt in the moment and understand the people around you. How many times have we, even though we are helping managers and supervisors understand the power of data and understanding not only their own self-awareness, but awareness of those around them, we'll get a manager that is still breaking away from those old traditional ways and says, I'm having trouble with this individual. Well, our first question to that person is, what does the data tell you?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I should look at that, shouldn't I? It's like, yes, you should, because it will absolutely inform you what this person's drives are, what their needs are, and help you understand how to approach them. But it is breaking with the old, antiquated, outdated approaches, mm-hmm. and starting to adopt something new. We are reinventing the manager. We are reinventing the manager and getting away from that boss hole, because the boss holes will ultimately drag a company and continue to keep it held back. So go ahead. What do you think? What do you want to talk about next?
Well, I think a third and equally important and maybe final point for our episode today is the reason why people stay. We can talk quite a bit about why people are leaving. And let's be clear on that. It's inflexibility. It's toxic managers and a toxic environment. It's also people not being able to be fulfilled and successful in their role because they're not a good fit. Mm-hmm. So if we flip that, one of the number one reasons executives stay in an organization is job fit.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's certainly the topic and the subject matter of one of our previous episodes on the four forces of disengagement, the first of which is poor or misaligned job fit. So, but that's an easy fix, John. Tell us about your take on how we can do a better job creating job fit.
It is one of the easiest things organizations can do. So in the context of using the predictive index platform, this would start at job targets and making sure that we have well-established job targets for all positions in the organization. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we want to have it in the senior leadership or for senior leadership roles. But when you do that, you can actually look at a person's behavioral data compared to that job target and see where there is alignment or misalignment. And it doesn't mean they can't do the job. It just means that their level of adaptation may be very different, or a certain level of adaptation may be required for a particular role. However, when that alignment doesn't even exist, you have a significant amount of misalignment, that's where we can start to think about refitting people and understand that, you know what, this person really is struggling in this particular, maybe they're experiencing burnout, maybe they're disengaged, maybe they're just frustrated and their performance is compromised, but by golly, we know that they could be very effective in these two or three other roles in the organization because the data supports that. And so when we can optimize or refit people in an organization, it saves us the pain of letting them go and saves them the pain and just simply repositions our talent within the organization. And it is easy when you have the right tools to do it.
Before we wrap up today, I definitely want to share with our listeners what PI has deemed the five turnover terminators. Because when it comes to finding success with retention, mm-hmm. this is not rocket science. There are some things that you can do right away and focus on right away. One of them is job fit. I mean, let's be candid. Having aligned expectations in the organization and finding people to fit that role. I shared this example, I think, on a previous podcast. But there was an employee in one of our client organizations who was elevated to a manager position. And she was very compliance-oriented, very technically sound. So super effective in her role. And when she became a manager and managed not just process, but people, balls really started to drop. Mm. Frustration started to occur within the organization. And the story that kind of came to be in managers' minds and her supervisors' minds is, you know, one of character, like she's just not a good person, or she's lazy. She's not showing up. And I'm embellishing that a little bit,
sure.
But in reality, the complexity of that role and the depth and breadth of the responsibility was out of her scope. And it was evident pretty quickly. It took a long time for the organization to address that. But the reality is having people in the right fit, not just the behavioral fit, but also the cognitive fit, the mm-hmm. complexity of the role, is doable. And in fact, they repositioned this particular person in another more individual contributor, compliance-oriented role, and she soared. So mm-hmm. I think that's a really good example of putting people in the right seat and doing so intentionally with really good results.
That's a great point. So Sarah, as we wrap things up, a reminder to all of our listeners, go into the show notes, download the 2022 State of Talent Optimization Report. It's in the show notes. The link is there. But in the back of it, there are five turnover terminators, and we're going to share them with you very quickly. These are great, simple things that you can begin to do to help stave off the wave of people leaving. Number one, companies with the right people in the right roles have 42% lower turnover. What you were just talking about there, Sarah. What's number two?
Remote-friendly companies are experiencing 33% less turnover. So having a flexible work structure and engaging people in a way that fits what they need will help.
All right. Number three, companies that prioritize healthcare benefits experience 27% lower turnover. And what's really interesting about this is it's not just sort of the traditional health benefits that people think about. It's about wellness. It's about balance. There are other elements associated with benefits that have come to the surface or have surfaced since the pandemic hit and the great resignation has been happening. So I think that's a really interesting one.
Yeah, that's a good one, John. Number four, inclusive companies are experiencing 19% less turnover. I just can't step over the fact that we've been talking about diversity and inclusion quite a bit in the last couple of years. It's risen to the top of areas of focus inside organizations. And we can't focus on diversity without understanding and identifying inclusion. And really by inclusion, we're talking about equality, openness, belonging, and creating an opportunity for people to show up as who they are and mm-hmm. feel welcome and be part of an experience. So it's not easy, it's big, but it is doable. It's not about walls or space, you know, including people in activities. It's about right. including people in that family, that psychological safety, that experience.
Yeah. And then finally, number five, talent optimized companies are nearly twice more likely to avoid the brunt of the Great Resignation than their peers. So this is where, as Sarah started at the very beginning of the podcast, having a talent strategy that matches with your business strategy inevitably helps you to get the results you need and keeps the talent where you need it in your organization, thriving and growing and preparing for whatever is next. Because let's face it, people, there will be something next and we have to make sure our organizations are prepared to handle it. Sarah, this has been great. Thanks so much for your insights. And I hope our listeners take advantage of this report.
Agreed, John. A wealth of information, guiding ideas and principles. And of course, it goes without saying, we're happy to chat with you if you want some direction, if you want a thought partner in where you should target first in your organization or with these strategies. We're here. So don't hesitate to reach out and stay strong.
We'd like to thank our guest today on the Boss Hole Chronicles. And if you have a Boss Hole Chronicles story of your own, please email us at mystory@thebossholechronicles.com. Once again, mystory@thebossholechronicles.com. We'll see you again soon.